guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Jeff Calkins is columnist of the Daily Memphian, host of the Jeff Calkins Show, 9 to 11 right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. He joins me now on Twitter at Jeff_Calkins. Jeff, hello. How are you?
I'm good. I was left contemplating today. I had Chris Harrington on my show, and in an effort to not talk about Ja Morant, he had written a couple of food things, and he made the following argument. See if you agree or disagree.
I have food takes.
If you are talking about not like food that exists as we eat it, then in the form that it naturally occurs, like an apple or a banana or any right. Or honestly, I even think a steak would qualify that. A steak is just a steak is just a steak. But he said, in terms of foods that we have created, right? There is no more perfect creation of food than, and he had three possibilities.
Okay.
Fried chicken.
Okay.
The chocolate chip cookie.
Okay.
And a pepperoni pizza. In terms of things, that, like none of those things exist in the wild. They're not,
Right, correct.
The things that we put with the cookie, we put the chips. And we put the flour and the butter, and we realized that we made a chocolate chip.
And it's more specific. You can't just say sandwich, right? Like, we're not doing that.
No. We're talking about that. Now, you could say, if you wanted to, there's no more perfect food than a Reuben sandwich. But that's too freaking involved. No one would believe that.
Like,
It's way too niche. Like, that's a stupid argument that there's no...
I have an addition, just like off the top. And I don't know how this was not... A cheeseburger, right? I mean, a good cheeseburger.
Is a cheeseburger... Okay, let me ask you this. The best form of the cheeseburger, if we were going to put it on the pantheon of with the perfect foods, the perfect blend of tastes, would it be with the cheeseburger that you're envisioning as our model cheeseburger? It obviously would have the burger, it would have the bun, probably cheddar. What kind of cheese would it have on it?
You're gonna. I have a feeling you're gonna throw this back at me. I'm American. I'm American. White American. Regular American. All day.
The folks over there. That's sort of classic. Classic. I think.
Yes.
American.
Diner style cheeseburger. Almost.
Would it have a slice of tomato on it?
For me, yeah. I'd go onion, tomato.
Yeah, but I'm talking about even like there
special
are things that
sauce.
May not be for you that you'd recognize as being, but the classic. Okay, let me ask you this though. In terms of if we're putting it up against, and it's got stiff competition, it's going up against a chocolate chip cookie, pepperoni pizza, and fried chicken. Could it have bacon on the cheeseburger?
Yeah, I know. Bacon would probably be right up my alley.
Could it be a bacon cheeseburger?
I think a bacon cheeseburger is in order. And whatever sauce you want to add to that from there, right?
I think a bacon cheeseburger is a pretty great food.
I'm into the California-style cheeseburger, maybe a little Thousand Island.
Even?
Thousand Island lettuce, tomato, onion.
Maybe
some pickle.
You know this. We've talked about that.
In-N-Out style. If you've been in and out, you've been in and out, I'm sure.
Not that I really remember.
Okay.
So where have you had is this a recent phenomenon that you're eating California cheeseburgers or do you?
No, it's just, I think people understand what I'm saying. Like
I don't think most people understand what you're saying.
Well, lettuce, tomato, onion, some pickle, and probably throw on like a spread of some sort, Thousand Island based type thing.
So far that makes it Californian, lettuce, pickle, all that stuff could well be Louisianian, for example. Like it doesn't matter. Like it could be Georgian. The only thing that makes it Californian is the Thousand Island dressing.
Yes, for the most part. Yes, correct. I'm pretty.
Is Thousand Island dressing not really essentially the secret sauce on a?
It's the same thing. The In-N-Out spread.
About
is same
Big
idea.
Big Macs are California style cheeseburgers.
Pretty close. Except it's. You know.
I never knew. I until this place Tommy's moved into our neighborhood. and I still haven't been, I'd never heard of the phrase a California-style cheeseburger. That's something. So that's why I don't think most people have heard of it, but that's just because I haven't heard of it. And I suppose there's other things. Who was the rap artist I hadn't heard of recently that we discovered that I didn't know either?
NBA Youngboy.
No, that's not who the one we were talking about okay. was.
Mac Miller. That's who you were talking about. Yes.
So,
well, you're anyway. From Buffalo. I don't know California style cheeseburger. I'm familiar with it.
I have lived in Memphis longer than you have been alive. So I'm only from Buffalo in the very ancient sense, like literally.
Have you ever been West Coast? Lived on the West Coast?
When were you born? What year were you born?
95.
Okay, that's not true then. I moved to Memphis when you were one. Have I ever been to the West Coast?
No. Lived in the West Coast. On the West Coast. Okay. This is kind of explains it.
No, I've been.
I've had family from the West Coast as long as I've been alive.
Yeah, no. California. I've been to all 50 states now. North Dakota was the last one. I picked it off when the Grizzlies were playing the Timberwolves in the playoffs, and there were 2 days between games, and one of those afternoons I ducked over to North Dakota, which you would never even have been to North Dakota, have you?
No, I have not.
Of course you haven't. No,
I have not. Nor have I been to South Dakota. I've never been to South Dakota either.
Lots of people have been to South Dakota.
Yes.
Because you go, you see Mount Rushmore and all of that, and you drive there, but literally no one ever goes to North Dakota.
What did you do in North Dakota, curiously?
Well, so what I did is at that point, I only started at some point, I think in life, we all reach a point where we sit down and we make a list of the states. Have you reached this point yet?
No, I haven't been to? I can't
well,
say
at some
I have.
Point, at some point, you will contemplate which states you've been to. Maybe you probably haven't been to enough that you don't count them when you've been to 23, right? Or maybe you do, yeah. But like, you start counting when you feel like, you know what, I may only be seven away, like whatever. And that's when you start counting. And then I went to Creighton. I mean, I went to Nebraska. Never been to Nebraska, oddly enough. But when Memphis played Creighton in the NIT, they played at Creighton. So then I knocked off Nebraska. That was my second to last one. And so by the end, we got down to one. You're like, I literally was just planning on a road trip to go to North Dakota. And I looked up TripAdvisor, 10 best things to do in North Dakota. It's blank. That's not true. It's not really blank. That's not fair. But there's not really, and what I was planning to do was they've got a really good hockey team, North Dakota, and
yes,
I like hockey.
Correct.
So I thought, you know what I'll do? I'll just like plan a trip sometime to go up. And at this point, you're just going out of your way to get to North Dakota because you're not going to actually, well, maybe someday I'll show up in North Dakota. That's never going to happen. But when I saw that I was in the Twin Cities, it was 2 hours away, 2.5 hours away, something like that, I said, because the rules of this are, by the way, stopping at an airport does not qualify.
Yes.
You have to get out of the airport.
But I agree with that rule.
If you have dinner in a place, that's good enough. Certainly driving through a place is good enough. If you drive through Kansas, you've been to Kansas. I think even if you don't stop at a rest stop, you drive through Kansas, you've been to Kansas, as far as I can tell. But by all means. So anyway, I decided it was enough if I went and had dinner there. And so I got my car, rental, drove over there. I stopped. What's the movie? What's the old man? What's the old? No.
No Country for Old Men.
That's it. That's the one.
Great movie. Great film.
Well, they have the wood chipper on display. There's a wood chipper involved in that movie. No, that's
Fargo.
Fargo. Different movie. Sorry. You get confused at my age. So Fargo. The movie Fargo, they have the wood chipper in Fargo on display. And so I stopped. I took a picture with the wood chipper. I have this sense that a human being went through that wood chipper was my sense from them. I never saw the movie myself, but that was the implication. And then I had dinner, and then I got in my car and drove back.
Okay. Now I'm asking questions. You're leaving up some questions. Dinner, What does dinner entail in the state of North Dakota?
I think it may well have been a cheeseburger.
Okay.
Now that you mention it.
You didn't want them to screw it up? You didn't trust?
I didn't want them to screw it up.
Yeah.
They had a, you know what, practically every city now has like an old town or a refurbished, you know what I mean? Like a place downtown that now has, oh, that's cool. They've put cobblestones down here and you can walk around and hold hands with you, whatever. Like every city has one of those places now. You go to Oklahoma City Place, there's one of those places. Every city has the place where you go, quasi-touristy, quasi, you know. And it's sort of a blend of Overton Square, yeah. Cooper Young, like whatever.
Right.
We kind of have multiple of those little places where you go to that we've refurbished downtown. But so they have one of those. And I just walked around there for a little bit and got dinner and didn't flash a gun at anybody and came to a halt. I have another question for you.
Flash a gun. I would have never thought that you'd be in that conversation.
I have a column that is about to go up.
Right.
Because I was thinking about what to write today, and I thought about going down to Barbecue Fest and mm-hmm. And just see what presented itself.
Yeah.
And I was on the verge of doing that when I saw that there was this there were a couple of different gun violence groups in Memphis that were going to have a protest in front of FedEx Forum asking Ja Morant to apologize to the young people of Memphis for flashing a gun on Instagram Live. And so I didn't think Ja should apologize to the young people of Memphis. And the truth of the matter is the protesters there were only about a dozen of them. They really weren't mad at Ja Morant really either. They didn't think he should apologize like that, whatever. That's not my point. I have written this column. I think that John and I was talking to John and he dismissed it as unrealistic, and maybe it will be. And I don't want John to do this right away because it would look gimmicky or as a PR stunt or anything else. But is it really that unrealistic to think that after John, of course, he should focus on himself, making better choices, etc. But is it really unrealistic to hope that John might actually say, put down your guns? I had a gun. I've had guns, whatever. I thought guns were cool. I thought guns were fun.
Right.
And guns have done nothing but harm to me and my family. And none of them have even gone off. Like, the bad stuff that's happened hasn't happened. That could happen with guns hasn't happened. But this gun thing is stupid. And if Ja is persuasive enough to get people to buy Nike shoes, why couldn't he actually have an impact? And why would it be so damn fanciful or pie in the sky to think that Ja Morant, and obviously this isn't his first responsibility. His first responsibility is getting well, and if he needs to get sober, sober or whatever he needs. But wouldn't it be like there? It struck me that there actually is. I don't mean an apology, but I do think there's an opportunity here for Ja Morant to actually do something good and have an impact.
Yeah, the folks down there at FedEx Forum wouldn't be doing that if they didn't think that he could have that impact. But, yeah, no, I'm with John. I think that's an unrealistic thought. Down the road, maybe.
Why does he not have it in him to do that?
I'm not saying he doesn't, but this is a down-the-road thing. It would come off obviously.
I stipulated it was a down-the-road thing. I don't want him. I would, in fact, affirmatively not believe it or like it if next week he said, not only am I going to act better, I'm going to come out against gun violence. I'm talking about 6 months, whatever, down the road, Ja gets with these people, talks to the various anti-gun people in town, guns violence and people in town, and say, you know what? I really want to support what you do. I really want to be a part of this. Why is that so unrealistic to think that Ja would do that? You know who else should and could do that? Who hasn't? Penny Hardaway.
Right.
Penny Hardaway was shot, for God's sake. And he's never said a damn word about guns, as far as I can tell.
The hurt and pain from Ja's gun situation really comes from him flashing a gun, which clearly he has a different mindset about guns. That's why I say it's semi-unrealistic.
It is. The reason it's unrealistic is you just can't imagine. He seems so addicted to it, you can't imagine him disavowing guns. In fact, during his when he was making his return from the last whatever, he was asked a question about guns, and the way he answered it was, I don't have it exactly in front of me, but I recall it. It was, I'm against any kind of violence.
Right.
But he wouldn't. He didn't like. Yeah. I mean, he actually did. He did say, I'm not going to be on Instagram Live anymore, and he couldn't hold to that. But he never said, you know what, guns are stupid. Like, this is stupid.
And in the end of the day, like, it's unfortunate what I'm about to say, but I just feel it to be true. Gun violence, we're here before Ja. It'll be here after Ja. But it could help. Yes, I agree with that. But Ja is
not
the focal point.
It's not his responsibility or any of that, 100%. But there is an opportunity. He actually could have a real impact. Not only that, I also stipulate, let me ask you this. If Ja had a gun for shoe swap where you could bring your gun and get a pair of Jaws, how many guns would be turned in before they ran out of Jaws?
Where did these thoughts come from? Is this you sitting around?
The world in a good and positive way, man.
You sitting around and talking about Jaw ones for guns.
What's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with it. In fact, I think there's everything right with it.
Genius.
Yes. I think we're dealing with unrealistic propositions right here.
Well,
I don't think they should be unrealistic, but I just think they are.
You know what's more realistic? A cheeseburger with American cheese on it. We'll stick with
and
that.
Thousand Island. And onions, and lettuce and tomato.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
That's crazy. No, I agree it's unrealistic. Like, it's not going to happen. But I honestly wonder, like, I do think you could get a bunch of guns turned in if you had signed Jaws. Like, there were a dozen
people at
the protest. There were a dozen people at the protest today, right?
Uh-huh.
The way you get more people to that protest is if Ja Morant at the protest speaking out against guns. And the way you have even more people at the protest is you have Ja giving out free Ja ones
for
if
guns.
You hand in your gun.
You are a thinking man, I have to say. That is a hell of a thought, Jeff.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Well, that's good. That's good because I was trying it out on you, and I didn't, like, when I said it, as I thought it and wrote it, I thought people.
I think that, but I will say,
you like it. I can tell. You're not even faking it.
I will say, from a valuation standpoint of guns versus Ja ones, I think there's a pretty substantial difference. And from a valuation standpoint,
so
of
I don't know what
people going out to go buy a pistol versus or their guns.
It depends
what you get.
You can't get your Ja ones though. Anyone can get a pistol.
Yeah, because they're on hold.
Literally, if you tell me right now, Jeff, by midnight, go buy a gun or buy Ja ones, I'd have much easier time getting a gun.
You would.
And
you
I'm talking about would, signed Ja ones.
Especially the new color wave, you wouldn't get the Hunger Ja ones. It's impossible.
Right.
It's literally impossible.
Exactly. So you get those, and they're signed, and whatever else. I think people do five. And in five guns, collect all, and just the old guns hanging around, you know, whatever. You don't need
Wait,
that.
Wait, we go five for five? If you hand in five guns, you get five signed pairs of Ja ones?
No, I'm doing five guns for one signed Ja ones. I don't care about your disparity.
It's a lot of value. I mean,
you don't need the damn guns. Just give the guns and.
I would argue some people need guns. I mean, That's fine.
Everyone isn't going to hand in their guns. Listen, there was a 9-year-old girl who was shot and killed by her 7-year-old brother this week.
Yeah.
Here's the truth, is that they mostly do harm.
Yeah.
They do harm to Mikey Williams. They did harm to Brandon Miller. They did harm to Ja Morant. They mostly do harm.
Yes. No argument there.
Those are circumstances, certainly with Mikey Williams and with Ja Morant, doesn't even go off if they do, huh?
Yep. Jaws is just, it's so beyond.
I mean, it did feel like, it felt,
I just can't understand how you do so much harm without even actually
shooting
a gun to yourself, to your image. It's insane.
Someone said to me, aren't the protesters kind of exploiting this for their own whatever purpose? And, well, yes, but their own purpose is saving lives, so I didn't mind. You know, like, are they jumping on the John Morant? And they all acknowledge, here's the truth, is that, like, there were not very many protesters there, and one of the protesters whose son had been murdered in 2019, she was wearing her son's shirt, and then under it she had a Ja shirt. She loves, they love, everyone loves Ja. That's the thing. Everyone still loves Ja.
I mean, you can love Ja and want him to make better decisions at the same time. Yes, I think everyone's still there. I think everyone's still there.
And you can love Ja, want him to make better decisions, and want him to have the – I mean, no one even has to credit for me the idea. The Ja Morant gun shoe swap.
Jeff, I'm dumbfounded. I'm impressed by your creativity. Every day I'm impressed by your creativity. And a lot more on this day.
All right.
Well done. Well, Jeff.
Good talking to you, Gabe.
Good talking to you, man. Appreciate it. Ja ones for guns. Jeff Calkins. You heard it here first. You'll probably hear it here last, too. Unless he brings it to the show tomorrow. But, my gosh, that's Jeff Calkins. At Jeff_Calkins. He is columnist for the Daily Memphian, also the host of the Jeff Calkins Show, 9 to 11, right here on these airwaves. Connor, what do you think about his proposition there? Where are we at on Jeff's proposition? No words. I'm kind of at the same. I'm at the same spot. I don't have many words for it. Unrealistic thoughts, but you know, I kind, positive thoughts, right?
Sure.
I'll give him credit for that. You get a little credit for that.
I think the specifications of this exchange would have to be
pretty.
You know,
yeah, we're gonna
comb through.
Yes, we're gonna have to be pretty foolproof with trying to hand over guns for
Ja 1s. I don't think we could do a gun exchange at the FedEx Forum.
Yeah, no, I don't think you could. That's a great point.
Yeah,
that's a great point. Now on the Ja 1s conversation, somebody did tweet at us, and I think this is an interesting point that we neglected a little bit earlier. Considering how much is out there and how many shoes have already been made, this also does prove that I don't think Nike's anywhere near completely cutting off Ja, which people are worried about. You have so much already in circulation. You have the fact that you have so much inventory. Nike's not going to eat that loss. I don't think so.
No.
Anything that affects their bottom line is it affects them, and they're going to do everything they can to try to make this thing work in the end of the day.
Absolutely. Shout out Ryan. Ryan Speaks 140.
Shout out.
He listens every day. Loyal listener. But, yeah, he had a great point. And, you know, I don't think that until Ja, controversy outweighs the investment, he's going to
yes.
be okay.
Yes. If another thing arises, we're completely different conversation. But we mentioned that. We mentioned that.
Yeah.
Thin ice. That's what it is now. But I can't see Nike.
Money still rules.
Yes, it does. It does. Those corporations, bottom line gets affected. They tend to act differently. If you will.
Move differently.
Yes, they move differently.
Hey.
Yes. Move differently. Now, Western Conference Finals. Game 2 is on the way tonight. Nuggets have the 1-0 lead. A lot of people think that the Lakers should feel good about where they're at. I don't necessarily think so. I think both teams should feel good about where they're at. And we'll discuss on the other side, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
See. Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
It's a Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN. PGA Championship is rolling along. Day one of coverage is live, still right now on ESPN and ESPN Plus. And the leaderboard update, how about that for you? We have Bryson DeChambeau at the top with a round of 66. He is 4-under on the tournament. I haven't seen him up there in a while. I've not seen him at the top of a leaderboard in a while. But then tied in second, Scottie Scheffler, Corey Connor, Sepp Straka, and Adam Scott at 3-under. And then a massive, massive hold over there, tied for 6. Ryan Fox, who's 41 in the world, he's there. Victor Hovland, Keegan Bradley, Hayden Buckley, Justin Rose, all tied there at 6th. Still have a couple people out on the course right now. Sepp Straka, I mentioned 3-under. He's on 13. Adam Scott, he's at 3-under on 10. So he's a chance to potentially take the lead. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens there. Now, Western Conference Finals, Game 2 on the way. Tonight, it'll be on ESPN at 7:30 as we get off the air. Nuggets up 1-0. And I think the overwhelming thought for a lot of people that have talked about this series and seen Game 1 is that the Lakers should feel really good about where they're at. The Nuggets shot 15 for 32 from 3, and the Lakers still were able to cut it to 3 in the final minute when LeBron put up probably the most ill-advised shot, one of the more ill-advised shots of his career, and it sort of took them out of it. They end up winning 132-126. But I don't know if I latch on to that idea. One, a lot of people are pointing to the Rui Hachimura on Jokic matchup having AD as a roamer. There were six different times that happened, and the Nuggets offense went into a little bit of a lull late in that fourth quarter because of the adjustment that was made by Darvin Ham, AD, Rui Hachimura. But it's only six possessions. Six possessions. Nikola Jokic has gotten everything thrown at him over the years, and why wouldn't he? He's two straight MVPs, was in the MVP race this year, probably, in my opinion, should have won it if it weren't for the national media sort of flipping the script on him late with Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid, worthy winner, but he's out of the playoffs right now, and Nikola Jokic has been the best player in these playoffs thus far. But he's had everything thrown at him. I don't think we can latch on to one way of guarding Nikola Jokic and say that is how you need to do it consistently. I do think the thought process behind letting Jokic cook and try to score points is probably the best way the Lakers could attack this. Because I think when you let Jokic get to the rim and try to score as opposed to getting his guys open, throwing guys open, I think that's where he really does his damage is when he throws guys open and gets his teammates involved. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Aaron Gordon, Bruce Brown. When he gets those guys involved, that Nuggets offense is very, very high-powered, very good. They can get up and down. They can play in the half court. They can do whatever they want to. But I think if you single cover him and let him get to the rim at will, and he scores 40-plus points and you keep those assist numbers down, that's the best way to approach it. But I don't think six possessions in one game of one playoff series can really show you how to neutralize a guy like Nikola Jokic. I think that's foolish. Also, people will point to the Nuggets and they'll say, well, they shot an inordinate amount of threes. They made an inordinate amount of threes. They were 15 for 32. They shot 55% from the field. They're not going to have a shooting night like that. I will say I think that was their best shooting night really of the playoffs. But when you look on the other side, the Lakers did the exact same thing on the road. Austin Reeves stepped up to the plate. Rui Hachimura stepped up to the plate on the offensive end. So, like, I'll say the Nuggets had a great shooting night, but the Lakers did the exact same thing. I think when we get into these types of series and the stakes are high, people try to latch on to things and they overreact to everything they see. I don't view it that way. And Michael Malone said it really well today. He said if you asked Darvin Ham right now, he said he'd bet every red penny. By the way, that's something. He said he'd bet every red penny on the fact that Darvin Ham would want to be up 1-0 as compared to 0-1. I latch on to that idea. And before the series took Nuggets in 7, I don't feel all that bad about that. I see a lot of people trying to latch on to the Lakers considering what they were able to accomplish even amid the Nuggets having an offensive explosion. But I think this series is just going to be a great one, and we should watch it possession by possession. And I don't think you need to latch on to any certain way to guard Nikola Jokic. You shouldn't latch on to, oh, well, the Nuggets shot way too well. They're not going to be able to replicate that. I think this series is a lot more complicated and complex than that, and people are trying to oversimplify it.
Totally agree with you. I thought that going into this series that it was going to be a chess match, that I thought it was going to be a long series. I still think that's what it's going to be. I think you feel better if you're the Lakers than just normally losing a game. You know, it's better than when you were losing by, 10-plus, getting close to there. Not bad, but to your point, it was six plays. I also think one thing people were somewhat forgetting is that Rui isn't necessarily, like, an elite defender, and I'm pretty sure Jokic is going to figure him out.
Well, and regardless, like if I'm Michael Malone, if I'm the coaching staff there for Denver, I would imagine, I would think about the thought process of what they did in those six possessions.
Yeah.
And I'd have ways to beat it. It's not that hard to counter that. You have AD as a roamer. You can find ways to scheme up the backside of your offense to potentially find cutters, to find open shot makers. You can find ways around it. And I even thought late in that game they found a way, right? Aaron Gordon was in the dunker spot wide open. He just dropped a pass. There were opportunities there. In the midst of a game when you have a switch up, sometimes it's hard to react in the moment. And I think that's what you saw with the Nuggets. I don't think that you can just go forward and say, this is the formula. There is no formula to stop Nikola Jokic. There isn't. You can try to contain him as best you can, but you're going to have to throw different looks. There's not one look that you can just say, we have to attack him this way. There's going to be multiple looks, and hopefully, if you're on the Lakers side of this thing, hopefully they can scheme up enough different looks for him to throw him off game to game, possession to possession. But I just don't see that being the overwhelming thought is putting Rui on him and having AD as a roamer. That will get picked apart eventually too.
Yeah.
This is Nikola Jokic. He's one of the best talents we've ever seen in the history of the NBA. He's good enough to deal with that type of look.
Yeah, well, and they've already talked about how they saw this against Minnesota in the regular season. They saw this against multiple teams that tried to do this with Nikola Jokic. Here's what I, to be honest, kind of think what happened. I think that the Lakers made an adjustment in the fourth quarter, and I think the Nuggets said, we can still win this game. We don't really need to change what we're doing. We're going to hold our cards close to our chest. They'll see what we're going to do in game two.
Yeah.
That's what I think happened.
Yeah, but it's 1-0 Nuggets. In the end of the day, they have the lead. Neither team has lost at home in this playoff run so far.
Hasn't started yet.
So
series hasn't started.
The series hasn't started yet. I'm looking forward to a game-by-game adjustment from each coach, and we'll see who may the best man win.
Right.
May the best man win. But the overreactions to six possessions, I know we overreact game-to-game in the NBA playoffs, but we need to sort of distance ourselves from that from time to time.
This is a wait-and-see series for me. I think tonight we are going to learn a lot about where this series is going to go.
And part of this, too, and part of my holdout is how many times have we seen, okay, Anthony Davis goes off for 40-10 in game one. What has game two been for Anthony Davis? We've seen inconsistencies throughout his entire playoffs this year. It's been game on, game off, game on, game off, game on, game off. So if you're not getting 40 from Anthony Davis like you did the other night, where does that land you? So we'll see if he can replicate that. Nikola Jokic, I feel pretty confident in him being able to replicate what he does night to night. He has done it throughout the entire playoffs. Let's watch. Let's watch and let's learn and let's figure it out. The overwhelming statements about Rui Hachimura being the main defender and letting AD roam, and that's going to be the key to the series. You wait. You wait and watch what Nikola Jokic does and what Michael Malone does to counter that.
It's the two smartest teams left. It is. The Heat are winning just because of their culture and their zombies. These are the two smartest teams left.
Yeah. I think that's been shown. And they've been consistent as hell throughout these playoffs with their defense, offensive firepower. They've shown up. Now, small talk is going to be on the way. And a couple of things we're going to have to bring up. Connor is very excited about Killers of the Flower Moon, based on a book by David Grant in 2017. We'll break that down with Leonardo DiCaprio, Robert De Niro, and Brendan Fraser. They just released a trailer today, and I'm going to have to talk about some AI. Timbaland, who's known music producer, music maker, has talked about AI, and he wants to commercialize AI. I'll tell you how he's going to do that. On the other side, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
92.9 FM, ESPN, Memphis' sports station. Sports station.
92.9 ESPN from Odyssey.
Here on 92.9, we talk ball every weekday from 4 till 7 p.m. Except right now, it's time for Big Man Small Talk on 92.9's Gabe Kuhn Show.
Small Talk is presented by the Memphis Touchdown Club. Greg McElroy last in their speaker series on Monday at the Hilton Memphis. Very simple. Go to memphistouchdownclub.com for tickets and information. And also tomorrow, we'll be giving out two spots to go see Greg McElroy on Monday, so stay tuned for that. Before I hop into small talk in general, Memphis basketball tournament, the basketball tournament team. We have Jeremiah Martin, Sean Taggart, Chris Crawford, Will Coleman, Willie Kemp and Alex Lomax, Beale Street Boys. How about that? $1 million prize? But I think Willie Kemp said in a story with Jason Munns that the ultimate prize is trying to get that rematch with KU. They're the host in Wichita. So there's that. We need to add any other guys to this? Need to add Tyler Harris come back for a little bit? Maybe? Maybe?
I mean, yeah.
Joey Dorsey's around?
I would love to see Joey Dorsey play.
Okay. Okay. Well, I had to mention that before we got to small talk. Now, Killers of the Flower Moon, holler at me, brother. This is based on a book by David Grant in 2017. It investigates a series of murders of wealthy Osage people, a Native American tribe, that took place in Osage County, Oklahoma, in the early 1920s. Big oil deposits discovered beneath their land, so there was a lot of murders. Leo will be Ernest Burkhardt. He's the main character. We have De Niro. We have Brendan Fraser, star-studded cast, and, of course, Scorsese.
Yeah, you got Lithgow in there, Plemons. Jhené Collins is going to play the main lead, the main female lead, it appears, and she's already getting talks of having possible Oscar stuff there. The movie is expected October 20th. Do you want to know, you know what the runtime is?
What?
3 hours and 26
minutes. Oh, good
Lord,
man.
Give it to me.
Come on.
Give it to me. All of it.
Well, aren't they starting to do like
intermissions?
They're doing intermissions.
They've been toying
in the
with
theaters.
Bringing them back. I haven't actually seen a movie with an intermission in a
merciful heck.
I can't
so
remember.
Long.
The last time I saw a movie with an intermission was when I went to go see The Godfather when it got re-released for the 50th
That's
anniversary.
So long, man.
It
That's
is,
ridiculous.
But I'll be there for every single second of it.
Well, no, I get it, but damn.
I know. But
I'm not
Scorsese,
saying, like,
I don't know how many more he has
left. I think I have
left.
A longer attention span than most, but damn, that is, we're not going to have a lot of Gen Zs in there watching.
For me, this might be the last De Niro and Scorsese pairing that we get. Give me all you got. Give me all you got.
Leo, I was watching the trailer, though. The accent he's going to have to put on is kind of.
It's still Rick Dalton.
Yeah. Well, it's Rick Dalton.
Missouri.
And for the Rick Dalton, that's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yes, sir.
It's a little more than that, though. It's a little more than that. It's a little more. He's going a little farther down the
road. It's a little Calvin Candy and Rick Dalton meeting in the middle, I think.
Yeah.
I like it, Missouri.
It's Leo, though. He'll pull it off.
He can do whatever he wants to.
Yeah, De Niro. I got to see De Niro.
De Niro looks like a mean MF-er in the trailer.
How old is De Niro at this point?
He just had a child.
He just had a child, and he's like 79, isn't he?
Yeah, he's old.
Yeah, he had his seventh child at 79 years old. Talked about that in small talk last week. Yeah, he's getting up there. But well, you think he needs more money, considering that
he definitely doesn't need more money.
More children?
He definitely doesn't need more money.
Children cost, brother.
Well, here's what I say about De Niro. He's arguably maybe the greatest actor that's ever lived. Some would say Daniel Day-Lewis. I wouldn't disagree with that. But you know, he takes paychecks, let's just
Leo
say, in between.
Leo not there?
Not yet. You know, not yet. He's got
not
a little
yet,
bit
what
longer
do you
to
mean?
Go.
He's got a lot under his belt.
It does not stack. De Niro, stack up to De Niro yet. He's up there. Leo's up there, but he's got to finish it out.
Yeah.
He's got to finish it out. But no, it's De Niro takes checks between Scorsese movies. I'll just say that.
Yeah, no, Leo's at the top of my list, though. I'm sorry.
That's fine. I have no problem
You're
with that.
You're a cinephile. We call you a cinephile, right?
You said that. Sounded like a... like an insult.
It's not. How's that an insult? It's just what you are.
I got Pacino, De Niro, Nicholson, and
Pacino and De Niro.
Daniel Day.
Okay.
Maybe Meryl Streep though. Meryl Streep's up there too.
Okay.
She's amazing.
Gotcha. Well, Killers of the Flower Moon, October 6th, and you said 3 hours and what?
26 minutes. Give it to me.
Okay. All right. Good luck. Good. My gosh. It'll be good though. It'll be good. The trailer that you sent me this morning did get me going. Now also. On the AI front, we talk about AI a lot in small talk. Timbaland says he has a plan to commercialize AI software that could give a producer exclusive rights to use the voice of what he says, quote, a music legend who's no longer with us, and he says he's going to lead the way. I'm so far against this. I think this is ridiculous.
Gross.
I think this is completely against, like, this is just not morally correct.
Right.
It's not morally correct. You should not be putting out music on behalf of Tupac or Biggie or whoever, deceased Elvis. You should not be able to do that.
Correct.
We should not be doing this. And the fact that he says he wants to lead the way, he's just trying to find a cash grab is what it feels like. Now, granted, we want to have more music from said people, but at the same time, isn't that just sort of a part? It's a part of life. Death. Death comes. And you no longer get music from somebody with Scorsese, De Niro. When they pass away, you no longer get movies from them. It's just, it's how we should go about it. Okay, I completely reject this. But again, AI is taking over the world, so it is what it is. Yeah. Now, We have one more hour left in the show. The Blitz will be on the way at about 6:30. We'll talk about the Bucks interviewing Houston head coach Kelvin Sampson. The Big 12 has put serious thought into bringing in a former conference mate of the University of Memphis. I'm not going to say it right now because it'll make me sick to my stomach. But coming up next, we bring on our guy, BetMGM Tonight. It'll be Ryan Horvath right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. WMFS.